Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Most people know about Joseph in the Christmas story, but most don't know him very well. How many fathers of the brides do we have here today? Fathers of the brides, you know, okay. Joseph is kind of like the father of the bride, okay? Doesn't really have a lot of responsibility, but has to pay the bill. Jim's song really set up my first question. So at your table, I want you to discuss this. What do you really know about Joseph? What do you really know about Joseph? Ready, go.
Well, he had a dream.
Okay. Carol? Now, give your answer. What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Joseph unbelievably just obeyed quickly what God had told him in the vision.
Okay.
No reason to, but he did.
All right. He obeyed quickly. Good.
Yeah.
All right. What else do you know about Joseph? He was a righteous man. He was a carpenter.
Yeah. Very obedient.
Very obedient. Uh-huh. What else do you know about Joseph?
He was from the line of David.
He was from the line of David.
Yeah.
He was chosen by God. Uh-huh. All right. Anything else?
He accepted his position there with Mary. In other words, I thank the Lord the way he accepted that. I don't know how much that was going on in our society today. It wouldn't be a problem, but I think it was probably could have been a big problem that we accepted Mary.
He accepted Mary.
Yes.
Yeah, he accepted Mary. Okay. He did raise a king. He sure did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm skipping the first part of Matthew. That's a whole other lesson. Okay. But that's the genealogy of Jesus, but I did want to tell you that most people think that the first few verses of chapter 1 of Matthew are the most boring and the least interesting part of the Christmas story. And I see some heads nodding. But all about the family was very important if you were a Jew. You know, it's who you came from. You know, it was very important. But I wanted to tell you that I have a good friend in Atlanta named Matthew. And Matthew was raised Orthodox Jew. And when he went off to college at Chapel Hill, he was spending the night in a hotel, opened the drawer of the nightstand, and what do you know? There's a Gideon Bible. So he was forbidden to read the New Testament as a child.
Yeah.
He's Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
So, of course, he starts reading Matthew chapter 1, and that's the genealogy of Jesus. And he accepts Christ that night in the hotel room. And when he was telling me about it, he goes, Jesus was Jewish? Who knew? He had no idea that Jesus was Jewish. And he stole the Gideon Bible. So that's my testimony. Whenever you have opportunity to give to the Gideons, give to the Gideons so those Bibles can go away. Okay? Now, it said over here, I think Don said it, Joseph's claim to fame is that he happened to be a descendant of David, Israel's greatest king. Now, there's not really a lot to boast about being a descendant of David for all of those time, you know, because David lived a long time before Joseph. So there's not a lot to brag about, you know. By the time Joseph comes along, there were hundreds, even thousands of people who had descended from David. So there's nothing to be proud of, you know, because of the way Jewish history goes along. Now, Joseph, it was said over here, I think, Midge said he was a carpenter. That's how he made his living, in the hill country near the Lake of Galilee in the town of Nazareth. And if you know your New Testament, some from Israel would say, can anything good ever come out of Nazareth? And in Nazareth, Joseph meets Mary. Now, most historians believe they were about 15 when they became betrothed. Now, betrothal was a lot more involved than an engagement like you and I went through. It was very serious. It lasted a year, sometimes even longer. And during that time, the families got to know each other. And they worked out a dowry, and they searched the genealogy records, because it would be very common for you to marry a relative and not know about it. So the genealogy was very important. So this was the time, the betrothal was a time that a couple would dream of. You know, they're talking about building their home and starting their family and how many children they're going to have and what kind of future they're going to have, and is their future going to be very secure. And I believe Lynn said this point, and some of you may have said that too, but the first point is that Joseph was a loving and righteous man. Okay, loving and righteous man. So I do have a video of Matthew, and so we're going to pick up where Jonathan's got it paused and go to the end of chapter 1. So follow along in your Bible around verse 16 or so of Matthew chapter 1.
Is the father of Matan, Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all. From Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means
God with us.
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
So almost overnight, you see Joseph's life just goes topsy-turvy. And that's a good point for us, is our best laid plans can sometimes be shattered right before our very eyes. Now, those of you guys who are married, and when you've seen if your wife becomes pregnant, you notice that her body begins to change, right? So Joseph saw that change in Mary's physical appearance. Now, unknown to Joseph, Mary had also received some startling news. Now, he may have wondered, you know, have I done something to offend her? Guys, that's what we do, right? Have we done something to offend our wife, you know? Maybe Joseph thought the family is displeased with him, or what would people in the temple find out if they knew that Mary was pregnant and they're not married? So, what kind of feeling went through Joseph's mind when Mary says, "I'm pregnant"? Fear, yeah.
Anger.
Could have been angry. He knew he wasn't the father, right?
Right.
Shame, right? Right. Disbelief.
Betrayal.
Yeah. He was shocked. I mean, he knew he wasn't the father. Okay, he probably wondered, you know, how could this happen, you know, without her parents knowing. I mean, he wondered why is all this going on? And so she begins to explain it to him, and it's kind of like a slap in the face. He most certainly had trouble believing that an angel had appeared to a teenage girl. Why would an angel appear to a teenage girl in this little faraway unknown village called Nazareth? But notice what the message was. Not only are you pregnant, but you're going to give birth to a boy who's going to be the Messiah. Not only the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. And when Mary says, you know, I'm still a virgin, that the Spirit of God had come upon her and placed the baby in her womb. And I think somebody said anger. Yeah, furious. I think Joseph was furious. Maybe one thing to betray him. It's another thing to be maybe treated like a fool coming up with some cockamamie story that the Holy Spirit has implanted a baby inside of her. I mean, come on, Mary. Can't you come up with something better than that? I mean,
nobody was looking for the
That's right. They were.
I mean, right. The parents probably didn't believe it. I mean, this isn't the way the Messiah was supposed to.
Right.
It didn't fit the story.
Right. Didn't fit the plan. Didn't fit the script. Okay. Because they were looking. Good point, Becky. They were looking for a Messiah. What way? The king riding on a white horse, you know, with an entourage. With great royalty, you know, presence. I mean, if anybody knew the Old Testament, Joseph knew the Old Testament. Okay, what happened in the Old Testament if a woman was found to be an adulteress? Stoned. Yeah, she was killed, right? So, Joseph was a righteous man who tried to live according to the Scriptures. But he also had a reputation in the community. As soon as he found out Mary is pregnant, he assumed the responsibility as the father. His reputation would be destroyed. The normal procedure would be to make it public before the elders, try to sever the relationship and explain, you know, I'm not the guy. Okay. But what did Joseph do? He didn't do that. In fact, he couldn't do that. Even though his trust was shattered and he felt he could not marry her, he refused to expose her to public shame. He decided that he would handle the situation how? Scripture says quietly. Yeah. Quietly. Right. Just quietly. Now, what about the passage shows that Joseph honored and praised God? What about the passage that we read shows that Joseph honored and praised God? He listened. I think somebody, Carol and a couple other people said obedience.
You know?
First he's going to divorce her. So put yourself in that situation, you know. You're struggling with this situation and then the angel of the Lord appears to you and you have two choices, right?
Yeah.
Run away or run toward God. And we face those decisions all the time. You know, when we're struggling with something, we can run away from an issue or we can run to God who's probably always has the solution if we just have ears to listen. Point number two is that Joseph had to believe God when things got tough. Look at, in your Bible, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this to us. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people, Israel." During the ninth month, Luke reports that Caesar Augustus gave a decree that all of the people should be taxed. That means that all of the males had to go to the place of their birth. Joseph was born where? Bethlehem. He's from the house of David. Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus was the bread of life. See the parallel there? Okay. So it never occurred to Caesar Augustus that Joseph would have to take a trip to Nazareth, from Nazareth to his hometown of Bethlehem. Now this was a 3-day hard journey. Now, according to Scripture, and you can't look, okay? Can't look, so no cheating. Okay. What was the mode of transportation that Mary and Joseph used to go to Bethlehem?
Donkey.
It doesn't say in Scripture it was a donkey. We've kind of fantasized that she rode on a donkey, but Scripture never says that. Okay, but it's cute. You know, it's cute for the Christmas story, right? It's also, according to Scripture, how many wise men were there?
We don't know.
Doesn't say. We just think there were three because there were three gifts, you know, but it's good for the story, you know, that there were three wise men. So, you may be at a Christmas party and they start asking Christmas trivia, and I want you to have the right answer, you know. They say, according to Scripture, you say. Here's another one. According to Scripture, what did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? Actually, that's not in there either. Okay. I mean, the innkeeper doesn't say anything. Yeah. Right. It says, because there was no room in the inn. Again, it goes well with the story, right? The innkeeper comes out, no room. You know? No room. Right. Right. And the children sing that, okay? So, ladies, you know that there... movement can cause labor pains to increase. All right.
I've heard that that's why they say you walk.
That's why.
Mary was walking.
Yeah. Yeah, Mary was walking. You know, so the labor pains are going. Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem. They desperately need lodging. There's no room in the inn. Finally, they find a cave. Most historians believe it was a cave that Jesus was born in. And it's where the farmer kept his animals. So that part of the story works, you know, that there were angels, you know. I mean, there were animals around when Jesus was born, all right? So, dads, when your wife gives birth to the baby, what do we know what to do? We don't know a thing to do, do we? Right? All right? The men don't have any idea what to do. All right? And Joseph was the same way. You know, Jesus is born. He has no idea what to do. I mean, Scripture doesn't even say that there was a midwife present. So maybe Joseph was the one who delivered the baby. We don't really know. Okay? But think about this. You know, this wife of his, Mary, who is highly favored by God, and she's giving birth in a cave. I mean, come on, God. How can you say that she's highly favored and get this kind of treatment? I mean, God, how do you explain the dirt and the cattle and the stench? You know, the smell. How do you explain all of this? You know, I mean, no one from Jerusalem is going to come and celebrate the birth of our baby. Not in these conditions. Okay, let's pick up the story in verse 7, chapter 2, Matthew. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So after all the hubbub had subsided, you know, Jesus is growing up to be a little boy here. Mary and Joseph stayed in Bethlehem. Now maybe they didn't want to face the gossip. You know, maybe that's a reason they didn't go back to Nazareth. But after about a year or more, these astrologers, probably from Persia, who said they had seen the star, followed it into Bethlehem. Now again, think about what's going through Joseph's brain at this point, you know, in time. Why would these pagan dignitaries come to Bethlehem and visit us? To visit this toddler, you know, and then to give him gold and frankincense and myrrh. I mean, they needed the gifts. The gifts could be exchanged for currency. Let's read on. When they had gone, verse 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because there are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, he will be called a Nazarene. So they stayed in Egypt for about 2 years. After Herod died, they came back, and Joseph wanted to settle in Bethlehem, but there was still a lot of turmoil and political unrest, so God directed him to go back to Nazareth. Now surely, Joseph would have wondered, you know, why Nazareth? Because, remember, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So, at your table, discuss this. What of all of these things do you think is the most difficult for Joseph to comprehend and deal with? Ready to go. What's the most difficult for Joseph to deal with of all of these events?
God had told him in a dream to do such and such. And then it's it wasn't no
Okay, what say you? What's the most difficult for Joseph during this series of events? Yes, Don?
I would imagine that it was in not putting her away or divorcing her, because my understanding is an engagement was considered a marriage, and he would have divorced her. But if he had divorced her, then she would probably be stoned to death for adultery. What do you think?
Yep, that's good. Yeah. So, divorcing her.
Initial shock of knowing
Mary is
pregnant.
Yes, Yvonne.
Trying to keep up with God's plan.
Trying to keep up with God's plan. That's difficult. Long walk to Bethlehem in Egypt, Don. Dominic?
I believe realizing that the Son of God was going to be his son, and that as a religious man, he truly believed that was the Son of God that came to save the world.
Yes.
And so he had to serve as a father to the Son of God, whom he was supposed to worship. And yet, he had to be a father to that Son.
Yes. A father to the Messiah and an earthly father to an earthly boy. That's right.
And he didn't know the plan.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't know if Jesus was the Father. He didn't know. All he knew was that he was the Messiah, and you're in the day-to-day of raising the baby and the toddler, and it has to be going through your mind, but how is this all going to unfold? How is this going to happen? For Mary as a mother, I mean, she knew all of that. I was like, I don't get it, God. Okay, I'm feeding the baby, I'm clothing the baby, I'm unclothing the baby, I'm rocking the baby, but how is all this?
What's the plan? What's the plan?
There were probably those who still doubted it. There may have been some gossip going on.
Yeah,
I would think that would be good.
Yeah, to deal with the gossip. Is that right? Yes.
If this was God's plan, why was he having such a hard time?
Why was Joseph having a hard time? What do you think?
Yeah,
he's human.
Right.
You see, how many times have we gone through tough times?
Yes.
When do we go through tough times? Okay. All the time, right?
Yeah.
All right. Where is God when we're going through our tough times? Same place. He's always been, right? He's with us when in good times too, right?
Right.
We don't recognize that, do we? Okay. You see, God is always there, you know. And I love the name that Jesus is given, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And I counseled with a lady this week, you know, and I said, if no other time of the year, remember this month, Jesus' name, God with us. How does Matthew end? I will be with you always. You see, there's the fulfillment again of the name, Emmanuel. Point number three, Jesus was entrusted with God's Son. Why don't you turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. And I love the way you're thinking. There's probably times when Joseph really didn't think that this little boy was the Savior of the world. You know, if you raised a little boy, you know, and the trouble that they get into, or all the mischief that you get into. But I think Jesus was probably a good and obedient child growing up. You know, he cried, and he wet his, probably didn't have diapers, but whatever they had back then. And, yeah, he wet his pants. You know, he ate at the table with other children. And you know, Mary and Joseph had other children. Okay, you do know that. Okay, but Jesus was probably a normal little boy, you know, growing up. But look what happens in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the customs. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now this really can happen. We have some good friends in Lafayette. And they had, the Hulins had 4 children, I think, Becky, you know, the Hulins had 4 children. And they left church and left the baby, the youngest one in the nursery, you know. And they just forgot, you know, so this can really happen, you know. You get, yeah, you know. But so here Joseph and Mary, you know, they're out of town and realize, you know, where's Jesus, you know. Now, how would Joseph feel, "Oh my goodness, I've lost the Son of God"?
Oh dear.
I just left the kid in the nursery. I've lost the Son of God. I've left the Son of God back at church. I mean, how could he even go a whole day and not know he's missing? Okay. What was Jesus' reply? "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" You know? Joseph said, "I thought I was the father." Yeah. I mean, that sounds really good in church. "Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" But if you hear it from a 12-year-old boy, it might be kind of hard to take. Yeah. I mean, what kind of support group would Joseph have to join? You know? I mean, he could talk to Mary about this. He certainly couldn't talk to the people in Nazareth about this. I mean, surely there had been a lot of explanations that were given about how Mary and Joseph all of a sudden had this boy appear. See, that's part of the story, the Christmas story, that we really don't think about. We think about the baby, the cute little baby in the manger, you know, but we don't really think, you know, what kind of miracle this was. I mean, every birth is a miracle, but this was a miracle, wasn't it? Okay? One thing Joseph did have was a passage from the Old Testament. Because 800 years before all of this happened, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph had the responsibility to put his thumbprint on this little boy who he taught to be a carpenter, which would define much of his life. And of course he was the savior of the world. But Joseph, as the earthly dad, had a lot of influence that were on Jesus that we really, really don't think about. So as we celebrate Christmas this month, don't forget Joseph. Don't forget his part. When God chose to send Jesus to the earth, he chose him to be raised by a carpenter who sometimes believed and sometimes doubted his beliefs. But Joseph is in good company because we're right there with him, aren't we? Okay? While Joseph is not the main character of the Christmas story, he is important. But you might remember that when God wanted somebody to take care of his boy, who did he choose? Joseph. He chose a carpenter. So let's pray that God will work in us to have these same qualities of Joseph in our life. Heavenly Father, find each one of us righteous as we seek to serve and live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes? According to Matthew, how did... Yes. Yes. He was a toddler. That's right. Jesus was a toddler. Again, it's good for the story, right?
Yeah.